Good morning, Four Points. Hey, let's go, let's go. If I can be honest with you, if I can be transparent with you this morning, before I even get to what I'm supposed to talk about this morning, let me say this. It's been a roller coaster week. Like you heard Pastor Austin just say, Pastor Russ probably started calling me, I'll say that, about 7 o'clock last night. We're sitting down to eat dinner and he calls and kind of give me the rundown. And he said, I'm gonna call you at 10 o'clock. And so I'm rushing home to sit at my desk to prepare something. And I'm sitting on my phone, I'm looking, it's like 10 o'clock, 10:01, I'm getting nervous. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? About 10:15 hits, he calls me and he says, my boy. And I said, I know what you're about to say. I said, I love you. I'm praying for your family. I said, but I got to go. I said, I got about 11 hours. That's if I don't sleep to prepare a sermon. And he said, you'll be fine. I'm like, all right. But like I said, it's been a crazy week. To give you a little insight into my life a little bit over the past couple months. 3 months ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. If you've seen my wife's post, I was diagnosed a few days later. I had surgery to remove some tumors in my body. We waited 3 months on answers. 3 months of nervousness, of anxiety, of me not knowing what's on the other side of this. Of going, God, I know I preach about how good you are and how faithful you are, but I just don't know. I just don't know. And I'm going through my head like, man, I have a 19-year-old at home. I have an 8-year-old at home. And God, I just don't know. I just don't know. For 3 months, couldn't sleep. I was agitated all the time. My wife's having to put up with like these emotions that are coming through. And I'm just like, and I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain that I'm upset with God. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how I'm going to get up every Wednesday or on Sundays and say, God is good, but in my head, I'm going, is he? Is he? 3 months. 3 months of, we'll say, keeping it on the down low. Keeping it on the down low of like, I don't know. Not that I don't want to answer your questions, but I don't know. So I had my first post-op doctor's appointment this past Friday. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm still questioning, God, are you good? Are you faithful? Are you righteous? Are you all these things that I tell 4 points? Like, are you these things? We walk in, and I'm probably in there all of 30 seconds. Doctor comes in. Hey, how you doing? Been better. You know, I'm like, man, I'm 32 years old. I have cancer. Like, been better. You know, I've had to break this news to my kids. I've had to explain 9 million questions from an 8-year-old who just has more questions upon more questions upon more questions. You know, so I've had to explain these things. And he goes, I get it. And he's like, well, let's talk. I'm like, hey, man, you better come on with some news. Like, I'm from Woodruff. I'll show out. Like, hey, I ain't down that bad yet. Like, come on. So we start going over, and he's like, hey, I looked over your CT scan. I looked over blood work. And he said, hey, I want to tell you, like, we don't see any cancer. Like, So I know there's people in the room that think like, man, miracles don't happen. Miracles is just something we hear about, but we don't see. But church, allow me to stand before you as a walking miracle for what God is doing in this place. Through the moments of uncertainty, through the moments of unknown, through the moments of explaining to my 8-year-old what cancer is, through every single moment, through every single question, every single tear that I've shed over the past 3 months of not being able to tell my people, from not being able to tell you, God has been good. And God has been faithful. And even in my doubt, because I'm going to call it like it is, even in my doubt, God still showed up and showed out. So I know there's sickness in the room. I know it. We talked about it in our pre-service meeting. I know it. And let me tell you, God's not done with you. He's not done with you. So I know we've prayed 4 or 5 times already, but guess what we're going to do again? We're going to pray again. Why? Because I like talking to Jesus. That's why. So would you pray with me for the person next to you, for the person in front of you that's going through something that they may not be able to tell you because they've got doubt and uncertainty and they may not know the answers to your questions. Would you pray with me that God shows up and shows out and works a miracle like only He can? Church, let's pray together this morning. Father, through every season of life, You're faithful. Father, You are not scared or surprised by any diagnosis in the room. Father, You see it. And Father, even in the middle of uncertainty, Father, You're still there. Father, You draw us close. In the middle of doubt, in the middle of us not being able to answer each individual question, Father, You still call us sons and daughters. Father, this morning we pray and proclaim Your name over the sickness, over the cancer in the room. Father, believing and knowing that because of the testimony that You are writing right here, Father, that You will show up and work a miracle in this room today. So, Father, may Your Spirit fall fresh on us. Father, meet us where we are right now. Father, for the ones in the room that are running as far away from You as they can, Father, would You tap them on the shoulder and let them know You're still there? Father, that You're still pursuing us. Father, we're thankful for You this morning. And we pray this in Your holy and righteous name. Amen. All right. Now we're going to preach a little bit with the 7 minutes that I have. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize for the people in the booth running my slides. May the force be with you. I don't know. I don't know. I sat down, and I know we're going through a series of Rock the Boat. Last week, we talked about my boy Pete getting out the boat, walking on the water, okay? And so, thank you, Alexa, or whoever, Siri, whoever I'm talking to. Hey, at least she responds to me. That's all I know. And I said, working through this last night, I'm like, well, how do I continue Rock the Boat? How do I continue that? And I said, well, I think I'm going to talk about Daniel. I think I'm going to talk about Daniel. And if I said, well, what do you know about Daniel? A lot of us are going to say, well, I know about the fire furnace. Y'all know about the fire furnace? Okay. That's Dan and the crew. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fire furnace. We know about, you know, all these things, all these great stories of Daniel. But the one we don't talk about actually happens in Daniel 1. Right? We tend to skip over this. And that's the one I want to look at today. Starting in Daniel 1, we're going to look at probably 8 verses this morning in now 6 minutes that I have. Can we put that up there, please? There's going to be some names in here that, remember, I'm from Woodruff. Okay? There's going to be some names in here that might get me in trouble if I don't pronounce them correctly. So, I'm going to ask for a little grace on my part. Remember, 11 hours prep. Y'all just stick with me. Then the king ordered Aspenaz. That were to get you in trouble. Chief, y'all rocking with me. Chief of his court officials to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Hey, Lord, if you don't want to preach that, you just tell me. Go back one slide. When I read that, I was like, that's me. And then the Lord said, no, my boy, no, that probably ain't you. All right, now you can keep going. I had to say that. All right. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Okay, Babylonians are a godless people. They're a people that don't have faith. Okay? So keep that in the back of your head. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Okay? We got anything else? We rocking with it. Hey, it's one of them mornings. I ain't mad. Look, we'll open the Word. I got you. Don't you worry. Oh, we're good now. Among those who were chosen were from Judah, Dan and the boys. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he named... Y'all rocking? All right. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, okay, y'all know these three. And to Azariah, Abednego. All right, keep going. What else we got? Oh, that's it. I'm going to keep reading. All right, he gave them new names. Starting in verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse conditions than the youths who are of their own age? So you would endanger my head for the king? Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Dan and the boys, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were in better appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So you go, why do you start with that? Like, why don't you just preach fiery furnace or, you know, lion's den or something like that, right? Those are easy to preach. We love hearing those. Why? Because in our life, there's going to be some fiery furnaces, and we want God to show up in them, okay? In our life, in the world, there's going to be some lions that corner you, and we want the Lord to show up and shut those lions' mouths, right? Okay. But we miss Daniel 1, where before the furnace, before all these things, church, you as a believer, you're called to live a life. You're called to live a life of discipline. Before the furnace, before the before all this, a life of discipline. And for a lot of us, that scares the stuff out of us. It scares us. It scares us. But we see here that Daniel and his friends, they're exiled in Babylon, a kingdom that stands in opposition to God. Sound familiar, like what we see out yonder, right? But Babylon, it's more than a physical place. It's symbolic of any culture that prioritizes indulgence and idolatry and selfish ambition. Wait. I didn't know I lived in Babylon for a second. I got caught up. You don't have to go far to see those things. You don't have to go far, okay? They're chosen for their intelligence, their good looks, and potential. Then subjected to what we'll call indoctrination in Babylonian culture. Which that's what the world wants for you, church. The world wants for you to tolerate sin. Okay? And what we've done, I won't say just 4 points, but what we've done, capital C church, is we've tolerated sin for too long. Okay? We've said, we put our toe in and said, it's okay if it's just a little bit. If it's just a little bit of that. Because we wanted Jesus plus something else. Because at some point we said, well, Jesus doesn't fill every one of my needs, so I'm still going to keep my toe over here in the world. Just a little bit. And capital C church, we said, that's okay. That's okay for you to live in sin. As long as you come in here and you act like a 2-hour Christian. What do I mean by that? There's 168 hours in a week. I feel like that's good math. Somebody will correct me later, I'm sure. Somebody will send an email mad that I got the number wrong. But I know for a fact we're in here for 2 hours. But what we've done is we live a different lifestyle out there with the 166 hours and come in here and act like 2-hour Christians. We act like 2-hour believers and wonder why God's kingdom is not being pushed forward out there. We wonder why, God, why are you not showing up at my workplace? God, why are you not showing up at the schools? God, why are you not showing up in my community? And God goes, well, hold on a second. I sent you, but you only wanted to give 2 hours and keep 166 hours in sin. You only wanted to give me what was left. You, church, we end up, and this message is not about giving or anything like that, but the most practical example I can think of is for what myself, got it. What we do is we end up tithing to the world and then tipping God. We wait till the check comes in that we wrote out there, and we bring it to God and say, God, I filled all of it out. I'm going to write your tip in. I'm going to write your tip in. I got 2 hours for you, God. I'm going to give you the leftovers of what I got in my cluttered life. But God, I'm going to come in here and complain that God's not showing up out there. I'm going to complain. Me personally, not you, of course. Me. Like, why I just don't understand why Woodruff or elementary school where my son's at, why you know, they're just not talking about Jesus. I'm going to complain about it now. But I'm going to complain about it being a two-hour Christian that shows up here on a Sunday morning and left my tip for God and said, God, work with that. Work with that. So, church, along the way, somewhere, we started saying yes to the wrong things. We started saying yes to the wrong things. And we started saying no to the right things. We got this backwards. We got it backwards. And you go, well, why are we talking about Daniel? Why are we talking about Daniel? Why are we talking about food? This don't make no sense. Why are we talking about these things? Because Daniel and the boys stood on business, okay? Because they knew that the food that the king was bringing them, a portion of it had already been promised to pagan gods. That's what the world is bringing you to eat. And we eat it up every day. And then come before a holy and righteous God and bend the knee and go, God, I've lived 166 hours in the world. Now do something with the food that I've ate, the things that I've put in my head. God, would you show up and fix my life when I have only tipped you? Would you show up? And God says, I called you to be more. I called you to be more. God said, I want to be a part of every hour of your life, not just those two that you come in here and act like you have it all together on a Sunday morning. I called you to more. Called you to more. Let me get back on the stage before I keep getting in trouble and y'all keep sending emails. I still need a job this week. I got cancer bills to pay. I know y'all ain't laughing at me. The church. We have to start saying no to the wrong things. Daniel could have rationalized eating the food. He could have said, it's fine. Just like how we rationalize sin in our lives. Well, it's just one drink. It's just one thing that I'm going to look at that I know I'm not supposed to look at. It's just a pay increase. It's just a raise. Well, God, I know I didn't honor you with what I had before, but could you give me a little more? Could you give me a little more? Well, everyone else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? It's just food. How could it harm me? How could it harm me? If I refuse, I might lose my position. Well, good. You probably didn't need to work there. No way. You weren't talking about Jesus anyway. He might be calling you somewhere else. But Daniel chose obedience to God over convenience and safety. Church, in your life, are you choosing obedience or are you choosing convenience? We love a good convenience store. That's why we about to have 3, 4, 5 QTs out here. Dang, they're going to be every 2 miles all the way back to Woodruff. I'm going to be able to hit every one of them. Every one of them. We love convenience. But does my life just look like I want to be convenient, look like I want to be comfortable? Or do I choose obedience to God? Because in obedience, some things are going to be difficult. Some things are going to be difficult. There's going to be some valley moments where cancer is going to show up. Heartache is going to show up. Death is going to happen. That's the curse of living in a broken world. But church, that does not mean that we have to buy into a convenient life. It doesn't mean that we have to buy into that. The world, it is full of temptations for us. Dishonesty. Y'all lied this week? Don't, here. If you lied this week, raise your hand. Oh, I about caught some of y'all. That was a trick. That was a trap. Greed. Dishonesty, greed, lust. I've lusted this week. Have you seen my wife? I don't know where she's at, but you're welcome for that.
She's right here.
My couch ain't comfortable, so what's up? And it's too cold to be in the doghouse. Let's go. Lust, selfish ambition, the pursuit of temporary pleasures. Church, how often this week have you pursued eternal things versus temporary things? Is your life full of temporary pleasures that God has not called you to? Is it full of those things? Because the world's got plenty of it for you. As much as you can eat, the world's got it. What about, y'all ain't gossiped this week, have you? Sir, not the Lord's people. Oftentimes it looks like this. Kyle, did you hear about Mary Sue? You hear about what she got going on? You know what, with her husband, we just need to pray for them. Don't be gossiping in the form of prayer request. If you ain't talked to Mary Sue and tried to come along beside Mary Sue and help her in the middle of whatever you about to ask for prayer for Mary Sue for, don't be doing that. That we call that church gossip. But we don't do that here, right? I hope not. What about indulging in, we'll say, harmful substances this week or habits that you knew were not good for you? Hey, I lived a life of that, of where I chose harmful substances over God every day. Every day. Church, have you been there this week? What about prioritizing wealth and your paycheck over what God's called you to? Now, we don't like to talk about that. Remember, that goes back to our tithe versus our tip. We don't like to talk about that. So how often have we rationalized sin because it seems small? Because it seems like it's not going to matter long term? Church, how long have we kept our toe in the water of sin and saying, it's okay? It's okay for us to be involved in that. It's okay. Knowing full well that's not what God has called you or me to. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Flee from you. Church, saying no is hard. Saying no is hard. How do I know? Remember that 8-year-old? He asked for everything. Saying no is hard. But your boy works for the church, so I have to say no a lot. Like, not V-Bucks. What do you mean V-Bucks, man? Man, I don't know. We want to pirate some V-Bucks. I don't know. I can't afford all that. But saying no is hard, especially when the temptation is constant. Saying no is hard when temptation is constant. When you're stuck in that same place, in that same situation, over and over and over again. Being able to say no the first time, maybe. Being able to say no the second time, But when that temptation comes your way, CJ, for the 100th time, it's hard to keep saying no. It's hard to keep saying no. But it's the first step towards living a disciplined, God-honoring life. And church, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. I want to be able to say no to the things that God has not called me to the temptations He has not called me to. And church, I want to walk along beside you while you say no to the things that God has not called you to. I want to be able to do that. Our second principle is, church, we have to start saying yes to the right things. We have to start saying yes to the right things. We see Daniel 1:12. Daniel asked for a diet of vegetables and water. A simple, pretty humble choice that honors God's laws. But this wasn't about the food itself, but it was about staying obedient and faithful in a foreign land. God's going to put you in situations this year that are going to feel foreign to you. I hope He does. Why? Because that's how you grow. You grow through tension. If your life is rainbows, unicorns, and butterflies, man, we need to pray for some tension. Why? Because I want you to grow in faith. I want God to be able to show up and show out like only He can in your life. It's time to get out the easy chair and let's storm the gates of hell. Like, let's go. Like, let's go. I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. I want to be obedient and faithful in the places that God has called me to. I want to be faithful in those places. Daniel 1:15 says, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his friends, they're found healthier and stronger than those who had indulged in the things that were sacrificed to the pagan gods. To church, saying no to the wrong things must be accompanied by saying yes to the right things. It has to be that way. Like spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible reading, worship, serving others. Y'all serve others? I know a few of y'all do. I saw y'all out there cutting wood yesterday, breaking your back. I saw some of y'all out there eating peanut butter and jellies that you didn't want to share with nobody. I ain't gonna point no fingers at nobody, Ray. Church, we got to start creating healthy boundaries, surrounding ourselves with godly influences, and we have to start avoiding those toxic environments that are pouring into us. Not everybody that's around you needs to occupy your brain space. I'll be honest. Not everybody around you needs to occupy your brain space. Not everybody around you needs to speak to you, right? It's one of them things where it's like I'm talking to Ryder. You better let go in one ear and out the other sometimes. Sometimes you got to do that. Church, we need to start making some positive habits in our life. In that 166 hours that we're out there every week, we better start creating some positive habits in that, making choices that build your faith and your character, like generosity and kindness and forgiveness. Because, church, saying no to gossip, and once again, you don't have to go far to hear gossip. Give it a few minutes, and somebody will tell you a prayer request. Saying no to gossip means saying yes to encouragement and respect of that person that you were willing to gossip about. The world is going to demand a lot out of you this week at your work. Saying no to being overworked means saying yes to rest and time with your family. Your family needs you. That was the biggest fear that I had over these past 3 months. Like, God, I know my call to lead my family, to love my kids, to love my wife. And if I'm honest, God, I'm scared I'm gonna die. I'm scared. And I started saying these things like, God, if you'll get me through this, if you'll get me through this, I started that bargaining with God. You ever been there? I started going, God, if you'll get me through this, God, I promise. You know those promises that we make? I promise that I'll spend more time with my family, that I'll spend more time playing Fortnite with my kid. I'll spend more time letting Chloe cut my hair. That's what she loves to do. I don't know. I'll spend more time loving my wife better. But to do that, I had to start saying no to some things. I had to start saying, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not available. I'm not available. Why? Because I have to be available to that lady right there. And I got to be available to my kids. So to say yes to them, I had to say some no's to you. I had to say some no's to you. And church, that's okay. It's okay. Church, we to say no to bitterness in our lives means that we have to lead and say yes to forgiveness. And we have to offer grace to people that we don't think deserve it. I'm going to steal Pastor Russ's line right here. Well, guess what, Thunder? You're welcome for that. You didn't deserve grace and forgiveness either. But you got it anyway. Why? Because God is good. And He was willing to send His Son with you on His mind. Remember, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He could have got off of that cross at any point in time. He could have turned around and said, no, I'm not doing that. You think them nails held Him to that cross? No. What held Him to that cross is you and me. Because He knew that was the only way that we could have relationship with God the Father. Did you have to work for it? No. Did you have to go to theological seminary and have all your ducks in a row and do an exegesis of Genesis? No. But because God the Father loved you and desired relationship with you so much that He extended grace and mercy to you in this room today. Galatians 5:1 said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Discipline isn't restrictive. And when we hear discipline, we think it's restrictive. In fact, church, we have to change our mindset. It's liberating. Because obedience to God leads to spiritual and emotional growth. So church, this week, after these 2 hours that we put into this place, I would challenge you with this. In the places you go in the other 166 hours, whether it be your home, your work, school, wherever, that HOA meeting that you get mad at people about, those small groups that you go to just so you can talk about somebody, those places, church, the challenge is lead with Jesus. And the world is going to come your way. And this week, you're going to have to say no. You're going to have to say no. Because God has something better for you in this room. His desire for you is better than anything. And I do mean anything. There's no rebuttal on the other side of anything that the world has for you. So church, this week, take your toe out of the sin pool and let's go out here and act like believers. Let's go out here and act like believers. You want your schools changed? You want your community to see Jesus? Stop tolerating sin and being a hypocrite. Stop tolerating it. So 4 points, let's go out this week and be an accurate representation of Jesus in our walk. Church, will you do that with me this week? I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to worship. Our prayer team will be here if you need prayer. Father, I thank you for this unique opportunity to present your word. Father, my prayer is that in this room, you are creating a counterculture people. Father, that is able to go into the world and not just chase a king, but follow the king. Father, allow us to go out and be sons and daughters of you. Father, may we represent you well this week. Father, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?